Listen to me. That tree was religion that was somehow in the paradise of God. And the serpent came along to beguile them. But it still doesn't explain what is it that drew them away from the tree of life. Well, Adam and Eve, all that they were in the image and likeness of God, breathing the breath of God, crowned with the glory and honor of God, did have a human nature. They were called man and woman. They did have a human nature. There was no sin in their human nature. It was not sin that took them away from the tree of life. Amen. We've got to understand this. It's hard for us to comprehend. The serpent will be right there to tell you, oh, he's really saying that sin doesn't matter. He's really saying this. He's really saying that. Don't listen to the serpent. Amen. It's what got Eve in trouble. Yeah. That human nature is attracted not to sin if it's not sinful. But my human nature and your human nature is attracted to beauty, to nourishment, and to wisdom. And Eve saw that tree, that it was pleasant to the eyes, that it was good for food, and a tree to be desired to make men wise. And she did take of it, and she did eat of it. A beautiful tree. A nourishing tree. Good for food. And a tree that would make her wise. And her human nature says, this can't be bad. This can't be wrong. This is good. This will make me as God. Knowing both good and evil. And she ate of it. And the first thing she noticed and Adam noticed, I'm naked. It wasn't the absence of clothes. It was the absence of the glory of God that they saw. And sin had entered. And they knew good and evil. But sin had entered. And all they would have in the future was their willpower to shun the evil and to do the good. That's all they would have. But sin came into their nature, into their life. But what I want to present to you today is that when Christ came and made an end of sin and took away our sin, took it out of our nature, we're born of God and sin is not in us. Jesus told the Jews, you'll die in your sins if you don't believe that I am He, the Christ, who came to make an end of sins. You'll die in your sins. But we that have received Him, to us He gave the power of God to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe upon His name, who and what He is.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And sin is taken away in Christ. We live in a paradise. Every tree is beautiful, good for food and nourishing. And the tree of life. But the thing that is so deceptive is still religion. Think about it now. It's still religion. But before I go there, I want to go over to 1 John, the second chapter, where he's speaking to young men. I speak unto you because you're strong, the Word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. And then he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life are not of the Father, but of the world. The world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Now, we trip up over that word lust. But I've got to show you this in part. You say, that's insignificant. What difference does it matter? We hear the word lust, and we see image of somebody lying with a prostitute in the bed of adultery. It's incest, drunkenness, drugs, lust, lust, lust. Do you know the Bible says the flesh lust? But did you know the Bible says the spirit also lust? So let's get that word lust correct. It simply means desires. The desires of the flesh. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the desires of the eyes. The pride of life. What is that? Beauty and nourishment and wisdom. The same things that attracted the man and the woman in whom there was no sin and drew them away from the tree of life to partake of a tree that was the knowledge of good and evil. The beauty, the desires of the eyes, the nourishment, that would be the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The beauty, the nourishment, and the wisdom that's in the world. You don't have to warn the one that's been born of God about going out and getting drunk. You don't have to warn the one that's born of God against going out and lying with a prostitute. You don't have to do that. That is not in him. That is not in him. You find it in one that's called a brother. Said, don't even eat with them. Get away from them. Don't even think that they're salvageable. Because they're not. You cannot change them. And when we try, we start giving them the knowledge of good and evil, thinking that they can shun the evil and do the good. And the fact is, they must be delivered. They must be born of God.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
You might think, well, the way you preach it, everybody's going to be unclean. Absolutely not. But one thing's true. I recognize that in the church there's a lot of people that's been made to think they're born of God that's never been born of God. And we can be guilty of making them to think that they've been born of God when they do not have a new heart. They do not have a new spirit. And they do not have His Spirit abiding in them. But we think this is a formula somehow by which they have become a child of God that we can fashion into what they ought to be. And we cannot do it. We become a tree ourselves of the knowledge of good and evil when we do that. And He's not called us to be trees of knowledge of good and evil. He's called us to speak spirit and life by the Holy Ghost. He's called us to be trees of life, that somebody partake of her fruit and live. He's called us to be fountains of living waters. Look at the 7th chapter of John, where He says at the last great day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and let him drink of the waters of life. And then He says something else. He that believeth upon me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which would be given to them that believe. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. But listen to what He said. Let's go back and look at that again. He that believeth upon me, as the Scripture hath said. What did the Scripture say? The Scripture told us who the Christ would be, what the Christ would do, that He would be made flesh, that He would make an end of sin, He'd take away the sin of the world. That's what the Scripture said. He that believeth upon me, what the Scripture said, as the Scripture said, that's the one that rivers of life will flow out of, a river of living waters. Praise God. Believe upon Him as the Scripture has said. Believe that He's the Christ who came to make an end of sins. Believe that He's the Lamb that took away the sin of the world. Believe that He is the seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent. Believe upon Him as the Scripture said, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And it'll come as words of Spirit and life. Hallelujah. I don't offend nobody, but I do believe this lady is the tree of life. I do believe that. You eat of her fruit and you'll live. You come to drink of this fountain. Praise God. But we can try to be exactly what she is and be a tree of knowledge of good and evil and be death to everyone that comes to us. Because we see the results of life and think that is what life is. Life is not a lifestyle. A lifestyle comes out of life, but a lifestyle can be a result of the wrong tree. Praise God. We've got to know that. We've got to understand that. We must understand that. My prayer, oh God, make me a tree of life. Give me spirit and life to speak that those that eat will live. Those that drink shall live. Praise God. Because that's God's purpose for you and I as the children of God and as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But that Corinthian church, I believe they were of the sort that turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They were the sort that even those that were called saints in their number, even those, he said, this fornication, you're proud, you're puffed up, and I'm not rather mourned. I mean, they were spiritually mature enough that it wasn't going to stop what they're doing for God just because it might be incest in the church. We can live with it, I mean, and so on and so forth. But there's another church that is also a carnal church, and it's a Galatian church. We saw the tenor of this church. It's all rebuked because of fornication and suing each other at law and abusing spiritual things and on and on and on. You can search them out for yourselves. It's just all through that book of Corinthians, just rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. And so much so, we said, well, that's what Paul did. So that's what I'm going to do. I spent a lifetime doing it.